You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Today, we're meeting two people running for Carolina Beach Town Council. You can ask your own question of the candidates on this live Wednesday edition by calling us at 910-343-1138 or by emailing us today at coastline@whqr.org. The largest of the three New Hanover County beach towns, Carolina Beach, boasts a population of about 6,000 people. Joining us now is Leanne Pierce, who was first elected to town council in 2013. Over the last 4 years, she has also served as mayor pro tem. She's lived in Carolina Beach for nearly three decades, where she raised two sons, and she's owned the Drifters Reef Hotel for the past 23 years. She has also served as the hotel representative to the New Hanover County Tourism Development Authority for the past 6 years, as alternate to the Wilmington Metropolitan Planning Organization, as the council representative to the Water and Sewer Authority, and the council liaison to the Police Advisory Committee. Before she was elected to council, she served on the Board of Adjustments for Carolina Beach and was vice chair of the Planning and Zoning Committee. Leanne Pierce, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel, and thank you for having us and providing the service to the public. We really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you.
When you look back at the last 4 years in Carolina Beach, what makes you proud that you had a hand in?
I'll tell you something, Rachel. This was my first term on council, and I heard recently from several other councilmen who have been there several times, this was the busiest council they had ever seen. We have been busy. We have taken on projects that I don't want to say other people didn't want to take on, but maybe it just didn't come in their time, but it has been huge. We have taken on this multi-phase infrastructure project that is been 50 years. The infrastructure has needed to be worked on for over 50 years, and we've band-aided it and just done little small things to it. But now we've just taken on the whole project to redo the whole town and the sidewalks. That would be the water, the sewer, and the stormwater, all for the public to have a brighter future for so that it doesn't have to be redone again.
And that infrastructure project has not been without its hiccups.
Oh, yeah.
Are there telling me things that certainly hindsight is 2020, but are there things that could have been done better?
You know, Rachel, being a private business owner, I have learned that there are always problems. Nothing goes as planned most of the time. And when you're dealing with infrastructure that was put in the ground over 50 years ago, you don't even know where most of it is. We don't have maps. We know where it should be, but they start digging and they find a problem or there's broken pipes. So I personally expected there to be hiccups and problems. So I can't say that it didn't go as planned. I know that there's a lot of perception of the public that it should have went a different way. But I can tell you that nothing goes perfectly when you're dealing with contractors, when you're dealing with pipes that you don't know where it is. I expected those problems.
Certainly.
And we address them as they go.
Right. Mm-hmm. And certainly there are things that don't work out as intended. The road diet comes to mind as an example. With hindsight, what would you have done differently around that?
With the road diet?
Yes.
Well, you know, I was not on council then, and I can tell you this. We have people who are supposed to be experts in the field and people who are engineers, and they have this is what their degree is. And our master plan called for a road diet. And I'm not defending it yes or no, but I'm saying that I think the council at the time went with what was recommended to them. We saw it didn't work. We changed it back. So that's really all I can say is we really need to look at what our flows are. Traffic is huge for us right now. And I can tell you we're currently doing a traffic study on Lake Park Boulevard, which is going to be huge for the future of Carolina Beach.
What are some of the potential options that might come out of that study?
Well, they haven't given us those options yet, is all I can tell you, is they're continuing to do the study. We're continuing to have meetings with the public and get the public input, which we just had one a couple of weeks ago. We have put in crosswalks, pedestrian crosswalks, which is something we are really proud of. We got that done. So I don't know the answer to that yet. I want to hear what the experts have to say first.
On a Facebook post, you said that decisions made over the last 4 years are not always easy or popular, but they have to be made with fairness, transparency, and according to the law. This, your words.
Well, I didn't know you were going to quote me. That's great. I'm sure I said it somewhere, but I believe that. So.
So give us an example of a decision that you had to make during this first term that wasn't popular, but you really felt was the right thing to do.
Hmm. Well, I'll be honest with you. One is not coming to my mind. I think that, let's say with sidewalks, for instance, with the infrastructure project, everybody's upset over sidewalks. I like sidewalks. I want the connectivity. I never thought in a million years that there would be this much controversy over sidewalks and where they go. Just met with a group of citizens last week on Hamlet Avenue. It turns out on their particular street, it's a 12-foot buffer instead of what it is on other streets, which is three or 4 foot, depending on what our right-of-way is. So it encroaches further into what they perceive as their yard, which is really the right-of-way. So, I mean, you know, those are things we have to look at as they come up. Golf carts. That was another controversy that I had no clue was going to be so huge in Carolina Beach. We want the golf carts. I think it's great, but we do have to have certain regulations. Guys, you got to have headlights, and you got to have brake lights, and you got to have turn signals. So we went in between going to street legal and gave kind of a middle way. But will we eventually go to street legal? It's very possible that it may grow to that.
That brings up an issue with your neighbor, Curie Beach. They mm-hmm. struggle sometimes mm-hmm. with enforcing, in their case, street-legal golf carts when Carolina Beach doesn't right. require street-legal golf carts. So what would you say to your neighbors in Curie Beach who are saying, guys, you're making it impossible for us to hold up our standards?
And I'll be honest with you, one of the reasons that it came before us is the police chief said the same thing. I'm having trouble enforcing the rules with our golf carts. He said, I pull somebody over, and they're not a street-legal vehicle, so I can't treat them as a vehicle, but then our ordinances aren't strong enough for me to say, here's what the ordinance is. I got to write you a ticket for this. Here's the fine. So that is really one of the reasons that it came before us. I think he would probably tell you that he would have preferred that they become street legal, which meant they could have flowed from Carolina Beach to Curie Beach. I was not against that decision. If most of council and the public would have been happy to make that jump, I would have been fine with that. But it did grow into there being an issue with what it would cost people, 800 people who had golf carts. So I was happy to go in between and make that compromise for everybody. Now, it's you can't drive them in Curie Beach. You cannot take a Carolina Beach golf cart to Curie Beach.
Right, but it happens because tourists so often don't know where that line is between Carolina and Curie Beach.
Right. And the answer is probably going to have to look at it again in the future. Hopefully not the near future, because in January is when our ordinances are changing for that.
Beach nourishment, of course, major concern for most stakeholders in beach municipalities. The funding for shoreline stabilization is challenging at best. What ideas do you have for creative funding, and where do you think most of the funding should come from?
Well, I believe that most of the funding should probably come from the feds, but we see that that is a dwindling area for us. The state has committed to put a line item for this in their budget. This has just been very, very recently. I think, and this is when you ask me what that very unpopular thing is, here's going to be one of them. I think we probably need to look at restructuring our ROT funds and how we designate the percentages for beach renourishment, because that is not popular. It's a state mandated legislation of how we split that. But other communities outside of New Hanover County have been very creative in Brunswick County and different counties of how they structure that ROT fund. And maybe because that's going to involve getting into the marketing and other parts of it and how much the county puts in. I think that seriously needs to be looked at.
And if you didn't have to build consensus on that issue and you could just restructure it according to what you think makes the most sense, how would you do it?
Well, since I'm downtown in the county, it's another unpopular thing. I believe New Hanover County needs to step up to the plate. This beach is not Carolina Beach, even though it's named Carolina Beach. It is a beach that's visited from all over the country, from people all over Ohio and New York and California. I'm in the hotel business, so I see where they come from. They come from all over the country, which should be part of the federal. The state should come up to the plate, and New Hanover County, it's a county beach. And that New Hanover County has got to step up to the plate and put a line item in their budget. Those ROT funds are called county funds, but they're really not county funds because we collect them from our tourists in our 6% ROT fund tax.
And Carolina Beach spends a certain percentage on marketing.
Yes. Of their 6%, the first 3% goes to New Hanover County. Second 3% is split 1.5% with activities and 1.5% with marketing.
And how is that spent? How does Carolina Beach distinguish itself from, say, neighboring Curie Beach or Wrightsville Beach, also in New Hanover County?
Each town, each one of the beach towns has a marketing advisory committee, and they meet monthly with the CVB here in Wilmington, and they discuss what would be, and CVB does a great job. I mean, they bring in the specialists. They know how to market. Trust me, our ROT funds are up 20% in Carolina Beach, so we know how to market. They know how to market. So that's pretty much where most of the ideas come from. We do some things in the off season to try to bring in the fishing group and stuff like that, but pretty much it's mainly relied on the recommendations from CVB.
And before we leave the room occupancy tax, I realize that enforcement is essentially a county issue, but is there anything that the town of Carolina Beach could do to increase enforcement or collection?
You mean make sure people pack?
Collection, yes.
Yeah, and the whole ROT thing is tough. We have the Airbnbs and the VRBOs, and we have talked about this at one of our legislative breakfasts with our representatives about how can we get those websites to enforce that collection. And I do believe some of them are currently doing it. And I think, unfortunately, it's going to have to be report-driven. I mean, someone's going to have to report someone not paying those funds. I don't know how else you would unless you saw an ad for a person and realized that they were not on last month's ROT fund collection. I don't know how else you would do it. It's tough. I know that the county has hired someone to look into that and trying to figure out how we can collect those funds.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Our focus today, Carolina Beach. With us now answering your questions is Leanne Pierce. She's completing her first term on Carolina Beach Town Council, seeking her second. You can ask your own question during this live Wednesday edition by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. You can also call us today at 910-343-1138. Where do you stand on offshore drilling?
I am not in favor of offshore drilling. I believe that we, as our council in Carolina Beach, have to protect our coastline. I'm a scuba diver. I love the water. I've been on the water my whole life, and I believe it's something that we have to protect. We cannot afford the kind of dangers that would bring to our community if there were some kind of spill or anything like that.
Now, that's an issue where Carolina Beach council members don't necessarily have any authority. There
That's
are
right.
other issues like that. Mm-hmm. So as a Carolina Beach town council member, how do you see your role in those issues where you don't have policymaking authority?
Well, the town of Carolina Beach did approve a resolution to oppose offshore drilling and seismic testing. Gosh, I don't have it right in front of me, but I want to say in 2015. And those kind of things that we do and we go to our state representatives and we present that to them, I think that lets them know where we stand because they represent us, all three beach towns, but they need to know how we feel about it. So I think just the kind of connections and the relationships that we have with our state and federal representatives is important.
The town of Carolina Beach has an ad hoc plastic bag committee, mm-hmm. which for several years was working to reduce the usage of single-use plastic bags and ultimately eliminate them from the mm-hmm. coastal environment. That's their mission statement. Earlier this month, the state legislature repealed the plastic bag ban that the Outer Banks had
That's
enacted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How do you see the state's action through the lens of what Carolina Beach might or might not do?
Well, I know that Nag's Head had made a huge step towards eliminating plastic bags. And in the coastal community, it's much more important because of the effects that it has on our environment. So at this point, with that new legislation, I'm not really sure what we can do other than maybe to educate local retailers and maybe give them incentives of some sort of how they can reduce plastic and maybe move more towards paper and other types of to-go type things. And we need to encourage our community to use reusable bags. I mean, that kind of took away a little bit of the idea that we had, to be honest with you, because we were looking hard at what Nag's Head had done.
And what kind of initiatives might you offer to local vendors?
You know, I don't know that. I actually just asked for the Plastic Bag Committee to come to council with their new presentation of what they have found out. That's what we set them out to do, is what can we do to help encourage people to do that? Because it's a cost. It's going to be a cost to the restaurants. It's going to be a cost to the consumer to do that. But if we care enough about it, I think we can find an area that works for everybody.
Should the town make an effort to ban smoking on the beach? Why or why not?
You know, I was asked that question at the forum, same question. That's another tough. I don't smoke. I don't like to smell smoke. I don't like to be around it. But I don't know that it's right for me to tell someone else that they can't. And we were told when we tried to do that in the past that it was a state law that we had no control over, that we could not tell people they could not smoke in a public place. So that's kind of where we're at with that. If we were to have the authority to do it, I'd certainly be willing to look at it because, again, I don't like it. I've made my hotel non-smoking, but I can tell you, if somebody's walking around the parking lot, that's a very controversial issue. I have someone walking around the parking lot smoking a cigarette, and then the person come in and complain that they had to smell it as they're walking behind them. I was like, you know, it's a tough, tough question. But what you can enforce is the littering part of it. You can't enforce the cigarette butts. They are awful. They're ugly. They're terrible. And we are trying to enforce that and encourage people to use the receptacles that we've put out.
That's our time. That's this edition of Coastline. Leanne Pierce, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for having us. I appreciate it.
Thanks also to Tammy Hansen and WHQR reporter Vince Winkle. Coastline's technical director is Ken Campbell. Associate producer is Rachel Keith. And production assistant is Caitlin Hanrahan. Special thanks also to Caroline DeVries, WHQR's webmaster and Coastline production coordinator. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at WHQR.org. Get the podcast. You can find it on the WHQR app. Tune in for the rebroadcast of this episode Sunday afternoon at 3. Join us for Coastline Live Wednesdays and Thursdays at noon here on HQR News 91.3 FM and 98.9 FM. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.